Now is the time, episode number 2. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. Friends, welcome to another podcast. Today we're going to be talking about fatherhood and what it looks like when a father worships God, how that works out in the life of his family and the life of his children. Of course, I'm a father. I have 5 children, and I do not claim to be a perfect father by any stretch of the imagination, but I do have some experience. Our oldest right now is almost 14. And our youngest is 3, and of course all the ages in between there also. But fatherhood is vital, it's very important. And when we talk about worship of God, worship ought to come out in some of the most basic aspects and areas of our life. And I think that there's probably none that is so basic as being a father, raising children. And in a way, it is just a wonderful picture of how God is also our Father. And we have such a great example as we look to Scripture and see how God relates to us in the sense that we are all children of God. Today, I want to start by giving you a little story from my life. Of course, I grew up in a large family. I have 4 brothers and 3 sisters. There were 8 kids in our family. And thankfully, the Lord gave me some really great parents and a great father. But that doesn't mean that I always loved my father as I should and my parents. There were times, of course, when I wanted actually to get away. I wanted to leave. I thought they were terrible parents. Of course, I was wrong. I was dead wrong. But I remember one time in particular, and I was not very old. I don't remember exactly how old I was. Maybe if I asked my parents, they would know. But I'm guessing I was about 5 or 6 years old. Let's say I was about 6 years old, probably right around there. And that particular day, I remember that I had been punished. And you know what? I don't remember what I had been punished for. But I had been punished, and I had been punished pretty well. And I was offended. I was upset. I felt like I was unjustly punished by my parents. And I began to feel bad for myself. And you know, as I thought about my life, I thought, what a terrible life I have. These parents don't respect me. They don't love me. All they do is they punish me. And I decided that the best thing for me to do as a 6-year-old would be to run away from home. Now, we didn't live in the big city. We lived in the suburbs, kind of in the forest, trees there, not a whole lot of houses around, but it would not be very hard for me to get away and not be found. And so I decided to run away from home. Of course, then I started thinking, as a 6-year-old, where are you going to run to? And I decided that I would run away to my friend's house, which was across the street. Not real far, but it was across the street, and for a 6-year-old, that seemed pretty far to me. So I took off down our lane, across the street, and to my neighbor's house, and knocked on the door. His mother answered the door. I asked if I could come in. She said, oh, did your parents let you come? I just lied right through my teeth, said, yes, oh yes, they allowed me to come. I went in, and to my delight, I found that my friend was watching Scooby-Doo. Now, Scooby-Doo was something that my parents didn't let me watch. They felt like it wasn't good, or I'd get too scared or something. I thought, wow, how wonderful. Here I am in freedom, sitting on my friend's couch. My parents don't know where I am, and I'm watching Scooby-Doo. Well, that joy did not last for very long, as I probably had been there for about 10 or 15 minutes when I heard the sound of a car driving down their gravel lane. And it was going pretty quickly and stopped quickly. And then I heard the footsteps of someone walking up to the door and someone knocking on the door. Well, who could that be? Of course, it was my father. Was he happy to see me? Yeah, I think he was happy to see me, but he had a pretty stern look on his face. And I knew that my time was over and I had to go back home. Now, the funny thing is, I don't really remember what happened after that. I don't even remember if they punished me more. I kind of think they didn't. But here's the interesting thing about that story. I ran away from home, but I ran away from home really kind of expecting that my father would come and get me. You know, I think that was really deep down inside, I wanted that. And in fact, if he hadn't come, I would have been sad. It would not have taken very long for me to realize, wow, this was a stupid decision that I made. And I really wish my parents would come, would get me out of this, and take me home. And I think it's very appropriate as we talk about fatherhood today, because I want to propose to you that one of the main tasks, if not the main job of any father, is to seek his children, to seek his children. And one of the things that we have to remember, and sometimes we have to remind ourselves of, sometimes our children do a very good job of reminding us of, is that our children have a fallen sin nature. And because of that, there is a natural rebellion that will at times show its ugly head in the heart and in the life of every child. It certainly showed in my life as a child. And because of that natural tendency towards rebellion, fathers need to pay attention. And we as fathers have to be continually seeking after our children. Let me read for you a couple of verses from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34 has a description of how God seeks after us. And in this context, it's seen as God seeking after, as a shepherd, seeking after his people Israel. But first of all, I want you to notice something. I want you to notice how, first of all, God condemns those shepherds who did not seek after the people, did not seek after their sheep. This is from Ezekiel chapter 34, starting in verse 2. The Lord says, "Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals. But you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally." Unfortunately, that is probably a fairly accurate description of many fathers today. They have children, but they do not seek them. They do not take care of them. They only want their children to be there if it is convenient. And if in some way it is helping them or bringing them some sort of pleasure or comfort or something like that. And if it's going to require work, if it's going to require sacrifice, they just as soon let mom take charge so that I, as a father, don't have to be distracted, don't have to leave whatever it is that I'm doing. And so here, the Lord condemns these kinds of fathers, these kinds of leaders. And what is the result? It says in verse 5, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. And of course, there he's talking about in the context of Israel, that Israel had been scattered and had gone. The people had been scattered to other nations. Well, of course, when fathers don't do their job, when they are not seeking their children, when they are not continually sacrificing and binding up their wounds and helping them where it hurts and where they need it, you know, those children are not necessarily going to want to stay close to that kind of a father. But there is a different kind of father. There is our Heavenly Father. And listen what God says that He is going to do. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them in the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements of the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. They will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture of the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. I think that's really encouraging. It's really encouraging to know that God seeks us when we are lost and astray. And I think that this is a great example for all fathers. Because really, the Heavenly Father is our greatest example. And He seeks us. He seeks us when we don't want Him. He seeks us when we have left His presence. And He finds us. Now, how do we seek our children? I think there are several ways that we as fathers can actively and practically seek our children. And let me just share some of those ways with you. First of all, I think that we need to seek our children by simply knowing them. I have 5 children, and it's just amazing to me. It's always amazing to me how each one is so completely different from another one. And I can't use the exact same techniques. I can't talk in the exact same way. I can't spend time even in the same way with each of my children because of their different personalities and the different ways that they think and the different problems that they have and the different strengths that they have. And it takes effort from my part to intentionally seek knowing and understanding each of my children's particular personality, strengths, and weaknesses so that I can best father each of my children. And of course, in order for me to do that, I do have to spend time with them. I do have to spend time with them. And that's something too that is unfortunately lacking in our culture. Fathers who intentionally spend time with their children. So we need to seek our children by knowing them, by understanding their personalities so that we can best tailor our fathering to their personality. We also seek our children by correcting them. You know, I have mentioned before that one of the worst forms of child abuse is a parent who just looks over the sins of their children, lets them go, pretends like they don't exist, and excuses them. The children learn very quickly that their parents will always defend them and their actions, no matter how bad they might be. We have to correct our children. It is our responsibility. And I believe that when we don't correct our children, we are in sin as fathers. And that might be one of the greatest sins of fathers today, is that they simply don't lovingly correct their children. I remember years ago when we had moved to Tacoma and we lived there next to a park, and there was a group of youth, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old boys, and at night they would roam that park and they would just pick some poor person that was walking through at night and beat them just for the fun of it. Well, they had done that a few times and the police were searching for them, and finally they beat one man and they beat him so hard that he died. They murdered him. And I just remember one watching the news, and one of the mothers of one of these boys who had murdered this man just for the fun of it, she was crying and she said, "You don't understand, he has a good heart." And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Dear mother, where did you go wrong? When did you stop correcting your child? When did you start making excuses for the sins of your children instead of correcting those sins? Fathers, we need to be actively correcting our children, not passively, not passing it off to mother, not saying, oh, it's okay, that's just the way he or she is. We need to be actively correcting our children. And that is one of the ways that we seek our children. That is one of the ways that God seeks us as well. We also need to be seeking them by teaching them. Again, I believe this is the main job of a father in the house, to teach his children. And we can't just pass it off to Sunday school teachers or to their mother or to anyone else. Those are all good, and let them be in Sunday school. Let them learn God's word there. But you as a father have to be the main teacher. You really ought to be the main teacher. And it doesn't mean just sitting down and teaching them Sunday school style, but using everyday opportunities in life to pull your children aside and teach them. And it reminds me of what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where he said, when you get up, teach your children. When you're walking along the way, teach your children. When you sit down, teach your children. When you lie down, teach your children. Using every opportunity and every circumstance of your life to teach God's word and to put it into the life of your children. So we need to know them. We need to lovingly correct them. We need to teach them. And finally, I think another way that we can seek our children is by sacrificing for them. And what I mean by sacrifice, you know, sometimes it's just too easy to sacrifice our money. Oh, here's some money, go buy this. I'm buying them some big gifts. And I think that really the sacrifice here is more of a time sacrifice. It's more of a strength sacrifice. You know, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes strength to parent a child. But when we intentionally put that in and spend intentional time with our children with the point of getting to know them, of teaching them, of training them, they notice that. They notice that sacrifice. They notice that we put down other things that we are doing and we spent time with them. And of course, if you look to our Heavenly Father, He sacrificed His own Son for us. What a greater sacrifice. There is none. There is no greater sacrifice than that. And that kind of sacrificial living, our children see that, and, you know, it is attractive. And it pulls them back into us. It is another way that we seek our children. You know, our youngest is 3 years old, and we take him out for a walk just about every day here. And there's just that little rebellious seed inside of him that if I'm walking, holding his hand, sometimes he's just fine with it. But you know, sometimes he just kind of wants to pull his hand out because he kind of wants to run and do his own thing. But I can't always let him do that. And I'll hold his hand a little bit tighter and I'll say, no, you need to hold my hand because there's a busy street over there. There's dangers over there. And you know, just that act of grabbing his hand a little bit tighter and telling him, no, you can't leave me right now. Because when you're with me, there's safety here. I love you too much to let you go away from me. You know, I think that really shows what we as fathers ought to be. We need to seek and hold tightly to our children, even if they don't want it sometimes. Because that's a loving thing to do. And in the long run, you know, our children really, they will be grateful. And I think that they really expect us to do that. If I just said to my three-year-old, okay, fine, go wherever you want. You know, he would be in danger so quickly. And it doesn't take him long to realize that Father's not around anymore. And he would start crying and searching for me. So fathers, my encouragement for you today is seek your children. As you celebrate Father's Day, think about how God sought you. And as you respond to God in your worship, think about how you can seek your children in return. As an act of worship to God, seeking your children, teaching them, sacrificing for them, knowing them, understanding them, so that they too can also know the Heavenly Father. All right, a couple announcements before I go today. First of all, I recently posted on our blog about a student missions trip to Perm, Russia, and you can see a link in the podcast notes below. But I'd really appreciate if you go over and take a look at what is happening. I'm really excited about this missions trip because I know that we have students who are considering full-time missions. And so if you can in any way support that trip, we would really appreciate it. The students would appreciate it. And I believe that it will have long-term impact on the lives of those students and on the lives of those that they're going to be ministering to in Perm, Russia. Also, now is the time. Podcast is on iTunes. So if you'd like to download it on your iPhone or have it handy with you, just check the link that says subscribe in iTunes and head on over there and you can subscribe right in iTunes to Now is the Time. All right. Thank you for listening. And blessings until next time.